The title is the same, God's Ideal Woman. We've been looking for her, and y'all like, we have been too. Well, I've been finding her, have y'all? Yep. She's got a lot of characteristics, things going on. I think before we get started, let's pray right quick. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, God. Thank you for your goodness, Father. Thank you, Father, for revealing to us, God, your ideal woman, Father, of who she's supposed to be, what she's supposed to do, God, and all those that are around her, Father, the husbands, the fathers, the children, everything that her life involves, Father. And help us, Lord, that we have good hearts this morning, Father, that it would cause us to have hearing ears, God, and help us, Lord, enlighten the eyes of our understanding, God, that we may see, Father, the truth of your word, God, and help us, Lord, to always be doers of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you got your Bible, let's look at Romans 12. I was hearing this morning, I'm not dealing with your situation. What I mean by that is we got a lot of stuff going on with women. We got a lot of stuff going on with the men. We got a lot of stuff going on with children. And I can't just stand here and tell you every area that you need to get straightened out and how you need to get straightened out. That's the job of the Holy Ghost. I can say things up here and he can cause you to hear something I didn't even say, but it pertains to your situation. Now, a lot of people have the idea they're going to get married to somebody that's going to complete them. Oh my goodness, you're in trouble already. I'm serious. You are in trouble already. Or they think, I want to get married because I want to be happy. You are in trouble already. Happy is determined by your circumstances. Now, the joy of the Lord comes from the inside, and you can have that whether you have a man or a wife or you don't, right? So what is the purpose of marriage? Well, according to Scripture, we looked at it last week in Genesis chapter 2, and it said the purpose of marriage, God blessed both of them, and he gave them authority, and they were supposed to do what? Create the blessing here in the entire earth, populate the earth, right? See, when you go back to the Bible, there is no transgenderism. You cannot change that. You can cut it off, you can add it on, but you can never be something that you was not created to be. You understand that? Transgenderism and all this other stuff that's going, it's an ideology. Is that how you say that? Ideology? It's a thought process or a thinking process. And I can't get with that, because when I go, if I don't stay with this, I get warped up. Anybody that don't stay with this will get warped up in any area of their life, whether it's marriage or your identity or what it is. And according to Scripture, when he made the earth and wanted a family in it, he put the male and he put the female. There are only two genders. I mean, you look it up now and they got LGBTQ+IA. And I'm like, how far are y'all going to go? Y'all got half the alphabet already. And you can look around and you can see all this stuff is doing is more and more and more confusing people to where we're supposed to find our identity in Christ. According to Scripture, he knew me before I was ever formed in my mother's womb because I was in him. And he knows the whole plan of my life. The plan of my life does not start when I get here. It started when I was in God before I ever got here. And our job here, when we get here and we begin to grow and develop, and once we get born again, is find out what God's plan is for my life and follow that. Will you have hardships? Absolutely. Why? Well, for one thing, God knows struggle helps make you. We used to raise chickens and we had incubators and things like that, you know. And Scotty, he would always, because he was a little impatient, he's better. He would always, when they would start, you could hear him start pecking or see one little piece come off the egg or whatever. He would run in there, and the first thing he wants to do is help them out. Wrong. Don't help them out. Why? Because it is the struggle that helps them have strength enough once they get out here. Because, see, it is the weak that will die in there. You understand what I'm saying? That's why Scotty tells you I have to make a man out of him. And y'all ain't saying nothing. I have. God has helped me in different areas. Why? I'm supposed to grow him. He's supposed to grow me. You are supposed to grow your children. See, according to Scripture, the man, reflects the glory of Christ, right? God is the head, then it's Christ, then it's man, then it's woman, then it's children, right? So Christ is the glory of God. Man is the glory of Christ, but the woman is the glory of the man. She reflects him, and not only him, but Christ in him. Now that puts men, y'all up here. What's that mean? Better get your stuff together. Why? Because you are the responsible for the entire family. You are responsible for what you allow to come into your household. You are responsible for the things that your children hear and that they see. Or if you're raising your grandchildren or whatever, your nieces and nephews, doesn't matter what it is, you are the authority. So that means what? You have the most responsibility. We read it, I think, maybe Sunday before last, where whenever they got in trouble and Eve ate of whatever the fruit was and then Adam ate of it, God didn't come in the garden and say, Eve, where are you? And he knew where Adam was. But what's he saying it for? Accountability. You never have responsibility without accountability. Just like here, Scotty, you know, you could say he's under Christ, but at the same time, he's under Brother Brad. He gets out messing around doing what he was supposed to or whatever. What? There's a higher authority that is over him. So whenever God came, we asked him where somebody was at. He said, Adam, where are you? So let's look here at Romans chapter 12. I just read it the other day in the Old Testament. Whenever they came out of the wilderness and all that, and God led them, you know, and the older generation died out, you know, because they disobeyed God for that 40 years and all of that. Then the new generation come up. And then now Joshua, Moses has died, and Joshua is leading them on out into the promised land. Right? Y'all remember that story. Well, whenever they're doing that, God tells them, he says, they've not been circumcised. They about to get in trouble. Why was they not circumcised? Can nobody tell me? They didn't raise them right. They didn't teach them. See, all along the way, God would tell them, set up these stones right here at this Jordan River. So when your children ask you, you can tell them. That is exactly what has happened in the United States. I told y'all last time that what they call the traditional marriage, the husband and the mother, you know, and the wife and all of that, how that is and everything. They say if you were like, I think it was something like 70 to 90. That was your generation. Well, my mama's not quite 70 yet. She's like, thank you, Lord. Don't tell how old I really am. I got you, girl. I got you. I'm not going to tell it. But anyway, she's not to that age. They say when you get under that 70-year-old, if you're 70 or to 90 right now, when you get under that, that traditional home fell off 46%. Then when you get down to my generation, 20-something percent. When you get down to Travis and M's generation, it's almost non-existent. Why is that? Somebody dropped the ball somewhere. Do y'all remember why God said he chose Abraham? Woo, because he's smart. He's full of wisdom. Why did he pick him? He would teach his children. See, ladies and men, your children is your most important asset. Your children should be the most important thing that you have, that you teach. And we're going to be held responsible before God, whether we aborted those children, and I ain't got time to get into all of that, or you took those children and you did your very best before God to put into them what he wanted put into them. And then they will go out. See, we've got whole generations that we have lost. So then the world has taught a lot of us what a woman is. What a wife is. The world don't know what a wife is. According to Scripture, she's rare. Now, you can take a married woman, but not be a wife. Y'all hear what I said? Just because you are a married woman does not make you a wife, and she is rare. The Bible says, blessed is the man that when a man findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing. He didn't say woman. He said, blessed is the man when he findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I have come to find, I have been on a quest for this. I found that femininity, Johnny. I found it. It's not nothing out here. And I found part of it over there, what we've been reading in 1 Peter chapter 3 and then other places that I found it because God began to deal with me about this. He said, I need you to be more feminine. And I did not have a clue what that was. I've been married 39 years this year. I mean, I'm 53 years old and I am a biological woman. You would think I would know this stuff. I don't know it because I wasn't taught it. And if I was taught it at all, I was rebellious and I didn't hear it. So therefore, I have had major problems. I just told y'all last week, I went through 6 years of hell of my life, of my own doing, and I thought it was him. I absolutely was honestly deceived, and I thought my entire problem was him. You can quit smiling. Thought my problem was him. See, we are just like y'all. The only reason I'm up here right now is not because I got it all together, not because I'm perfect, not because it's just the gift. That is absolutely it. I don't have a gift to live it at my house or be any different from anybody else, right? But the world has been trying to teach us and the culture, and they are some kind of messed up, boy. Therefore, the church, a lot of the people in the church are messed up. Like I said, because either they were, like I said last week, my grandparents probably was the closest thing I ever saw to that. But yet at the same time, I mean, you got to remember, I met Scotty when I was 13, forgot about everything else, married him when I was 14, so I ain't into learning nothing really, you know. So, I mean, I don't fault or blame anybody for whatever. But that's probably the closest my grandparents, what I saw their relationship and they done, and I told y'all last week that I never saw the man open a can of soup to feed himself. Maybe he did, but I never saw it. Now, my grandmother, did he? Did he ever, did Papa ever fix himself something to eat? Told y'all. Why did you wash his hair? You wanted to, or did he ask you to, or? Listen to it, ladies. Of course they did. See, what they call this today, that's cater and take care of your man. A lot of women, they do not know how to do this. And I have had to, and I know a lot of ladies. Listen, when I say these things, I'm not just talking to y'all. You got to remember, I'm all over the world. I mean, I'm in Israel, I'm in Colombia, all over the places I'm talking to people. So sometimes I may have to say some things that don't even apply to anybody in this room, because we got other people listening. But that's what they call that. I did not know that's why she did that. I saw her wash his hair. I saw her fix him something to eat. I saw him stay in the bed while she turned the electric heater on and went and built a fire, and it's ice cold in there, cooked his breakfast, then woke him up. Then he went to work. Then she washed the dishes. Then she went to work. Then she come home, and she cooked supper, and he eat supper and went and did whatever he did, and she cleaned up. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is, far as naturally, the closest thing that I can find to God's ideal woman. But what do they get today? What they get today? Well, I tell you what you get. This. That's what they say a lot of them. This. And a man's like, what? What is it? What is this? You know? Well, I'm God's gift to men. Are you serious? A lot of us women have become so prideful and so arrogant and think we know everything. We know it all, and we're going to tell y'all what y'all don't know and what y'all need to know. And y'all not saying nothing, and I know why. According to Scripture, a woman is never to usurp authority over a man. What's that mean? That means I don't dominate my husband. And see, you got a lot of people today, I guarantee you, every woman I asked in here, they could tell you their ideal man. I asked you, at least 6 foot, at least $100,000 a year, and that is negotiable. We really need two, but I will bring it down to $100,000. You know, I need a man that's going to have my hair done, go get my nails done, take care of my 3 kids from another man. Y'all not saying nothing. What are they going to get for all of this? A hard time most of the time. See, a lot of women can tell you their ideal man. But what is the ideal woman to the man? Any woman in here tell me? We don't think about that, do we? No, we don't think about that because we don't care about that, Johnny, because we're women. But most men, they don't necessarily have a number and all of this stuff. One of the things that I have come to find out that a man, most men, generally, when I say generally, I mean most men, not all, there can be exceptions to the rule. Most of the time, their wife, they want peace. And I have come to find out, y'all will even lie to us sometimes. God, we could hear a pin drop. Sometimes men lie to you, ladies. Why? Because if they ever tell you the truth, you turn on the waterworks or you start breaking the coffee table, you go berserk. Because, well, a lot of times we can't handle the truth. Well, that's where God comes in. He's going to tell you the truth. Now, you can listen to it or you cannot listen to it. It would be best if you listen to it. Why? Because some of the things I'm saying, we have to break this stuff down. Because just like for me, I did not see this stuff. I was not raised in this stuff. Me and Scotty pretty much raised me, and y'all can tell we did a terrible job of it. You know, bless his heart. I mean, he's a man. He's an 18-year-old man, but in a lot of ways, I'm more mature at the time than what he is. And I got him raising me. And then here I am. I got all my problems, and I'm raising me. He's 18. I'm 14, and we do whatever we choose. I mean, whatever. Whenever. So then I get on up here, no wonder I've got problems. But you know what the good thing about it is? God is so good, and He's so gracious. You know, I told y'all about when I went to the classes at church about how to be the wife of a happy husband. What I got out of all of those classes was, I'm not the rooster. That's how Scotty says it. What I learned was, I've got to stop making all the choices for this family. Listen to me, men. When you don't take your place and you're married to a woman, she will, if she's a good woman, she will rise up and she will take control. And it's your fault that she done it. Your fault. Now, she didn't have to do it, but listen, you got kids, they got to eat. Somebody got to work. And we got a lot of men around here that are not real men, that are not real husbands. They don't want to work. They want their woman to work. That's not right. It is the man that is the responsible one for the family. It is the man that is the provider of the family. Not that the women can't help. I'm not saying that. So we have all kinds of situations out here. Some of people's own doing, some not of their own. We have grandparents raising their grandkids. That's not supposed to happen. But it happens. So you do what you got to do, right? Then you've got single mothers out here that are raising their kids, that their fathers are God knows where. And I heard this morning. I'm just going to have to say it. I heard it on the inside. A lot of times women can get to the point to where they're like, all men are dogs. There are no good men out there. The Lord said that's not so. He's got good men all over the place. They just don't want you. They don't want you. Why? Why don't they want you? Why would they? And see, women put a lot of external, a lot of confidence in the external. But God and men, now I'm not talking about lust. Listen, you hanging out, you chicks back there, and you're hanging out the front, and you go out here and you stand at the red light, you're asking for it. I had a lady one time, she's no longer my friend on Facebook. But anyway, she was a divorced woman, had a teenage boy, and she was all the time posting these pictures of herself in a bathing suit or something real low cut. Y'all know what I'm saying, because women, y'all know what y'all doing. Y'all can play dumb all you want to, but I'm a woman, I know. Anyway, so she's always posting these. And then these men, I noticed these men, they would start coming on there, commenting, there, oh, beautiful, oh, this, that, and another, you know. And then she would come on there later and say, oh, y'all men are just dogs. Y'all just after one thing. Why can't you see somebody's beauty? And I'm like, are you kidding me? You dressed like that, and you put that on Facebook because you're trying to draw that kind of attention, and then you want to dog a man when he gives you what you asked for. Well, lo and behold, I had all I could take one day. Listen, I don't care what you do. Just don't play stupid. If you're stupid, I'm going to have to help you. I'm serious. If you want to act that dumb that you don't know. Well, anyway, lo and behold, I don't know, I was on there about 11, 12 o'clock one night scrolling through there, and there's another picture of her she's put on there. Now, she says she's a Christian woman. I don't know if she is or she ain't. She's laying across the bed, and she's got on like some kind of silky, short house coat looking thing, laying across the bed like this, and things are hanging out, and you can see kind of up. And so I just told her, I said, listen, I said, I don't know why you feel the need as a Christian woman to put yourself half nude laying across the bed on Facebook. That was the last I heard. No sweat off me, didn't bother me at all. But hey, if you got a problem and you really don't know, somebody needs to help you. But most women, they know. And that's why they do it. But then act like they don't like the attention, but you do, or you wouldn't be doing it. Listen, I go somewhere, people do not approach me. They just do not. And y'all know why. I ain't hanging out nowhere. I don't make eye contact with men most of the time. I'm serious. Now, if you're talking to me face to face, I might look at your eyes and look down or whatever. But most time, I just walking down the street, I'm looking at the ground. I don't need no eye contact with you because I ain't looking for nothing. But see, a lot of what we have done, ladies, we want to call men dogs or there are no good men out there. And every one of us probably could go through our list of, God, I want this kind of man. And God, I want him to do this. And I want him to be this. Your word says he's supposed to do this and be this. But what are you? What does the word say about you? I thought about it this morning. There are some people, some women, since we're talking about women, and vice versa, men too. And listen, there's men out there that's raising their children because their wives have run off. We're in all kinds of different scenarios. So it's not just single mothers. There's a lot of single fathers out there. And just like all that junk about, you know, my body, my choice. Well, you didn't get that baby by yourself. And he should have a say in that too. There's a lot of men out there that would take care of their kids if they had the opportunity, but the woman wouldn't let them. So don't think this is a one-way street. It goes two ways at different times. Gosh, y'all going to let me read this verse or not? I'm trying, but y'all doing it. But anyway, I thought about the woman at the well this morning. We probably all know the story, could quote it or whatever. Jesus told her, said, go call your husband after he had talked to her a little bit. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, yep, you've had five husbands, and now you're shacking. Because he said, the one you're with right now, that ain't your husband. What is wrong with you, woman? See, oh, he's so good. He loves me and he does this when we get with him. I have learned a lot of women fall in love with the idea of love. Men don't fall in love with the idea of love. See, women, a lot of times, we have a picture of what we think love is. And it's a lot of feelings. And it's a lot of words. Men don't use as many words as we do. They just don't have it in them. That's why most time y'all can't win an argument. We can out talk circles around y'all. What you patting wanting for? Oh, my goodness, got something else. But see, he told her, said, you've had five husbands. There's been people that's come here. I'm telling you, I know, I'm thinking of one right now. And it was the guy. He'd been married five times. The woman he was with here was his fifth wife, and they are now divorced. What is wrong with you? I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying, what is wrong with people? See, they keep thinking it's the person. Well, listen, honey, you picked him. Didn't you pick him? Didn't you say I do? He asked you or you told him? With Miss Cardi, I told him. I told him, good thing you listened to me, buddy. You could have got you a bad one. You think I'm bad? I mean, you could have really got some bad out there. So why am I saying this? Because, see, I need to work on me. I can't change you. I can't change him. You can't change her. But I can work on me. And if I work on me, my life gets better. And just everybody that's in contact with my life, somehow or another, your life is going to get better. My life has gotten better. I told you I went through 6 years of pure hell, nearly had an affair, all this kind of stuff. Don't enjoy my husband. And Samantha, it was right there in 1 Peter chapter 3, and I've read that my whole Christian life. Read it every year. Never saw it. And I believe one reason is because I was very prideful and had been trained by the culture in this world to, I couldn't see it. I couldn't hear it. But you know what happened? I come to the point to where I told Scotty, I don't enjoy you anymore. I want to enjoy you. I don't enjoy you. I didn't enjoy nothing in life. Nothing makes me happy. No person makes me happy. Nothing I do makes me happy. No, I have no peace. I have no joy. And I am to my limit. See, if you're going to be prideful and you're going to be stubborn, God told me it was my dogged determination. And I looked it up, y'all remember, and it means stubbornly determined. And that's not good. That is not good. Until I told the Lord, I said, God, you have, and I mean tears rolling, you have got to help us. You have got to help me, God. I don't know what the problem is. And see, there's a lot of us out there, we really don't know what the problem is. We just know there's a problem. So what you got to do? You got to humble yourself before the Lord. I don't know the answer. But God, whatever you tell me the answer is, I am willing to do. I want to do it, God. Like she said, I wanted to wash his hair. I wanted to cut his toenails. See, I heard this the other day. Somebody said something about the man and the wife, you know, and called the husband daddy or whatever and said, what if daddy wants a sandwich? Well, get your tail up off of that couch and get in there and make you a sandwich. I'm not your mama. I'm not your maid. Y'all not saying nothing. What's correct response? Woman, you get up and you go fix daddy a sandwich. Let me tell you my scenario. I thought about it, and I hate to even say this, especially when he's in here. Just telling you, I do. Now, he's good. He don't use this stuff against me or anything most of the time. But anyway, I tell him, I say, don't tell me something that's wrong with me when we in an argument. I can't hear you. I want to hear you, but if I'm mad at you, I can't hear you. Tell me when things are calm. Why? I want to change. I want to hear it, but don't pick the wrong time to tell me. There's times when you know when you can tell your husband things, and there's other times you better just be quiet because it ain't today. Now I don't forget where I was going with that. Y'all remember what I said? Well, I knew you was going to answer, Monty. I knew you was. Something about myself, of course I was. But anyway, I got so sick and tired of that till I cried out to God and I told him, help me, help us. We've got to have a change because I am at my limit. I am humbling myself. I have my tongue hanging out on the floor. I'm so sick of this. Why? I want to live in peace. But then be ready for what he tells you. See, there's some women you done been married 5 times, but you never took the time to fix you. Y'all not saying nothing. But a lot of times women are prideful and arrogant, and their parents have told you what a princess you are and what a catch you are and what a prize you are. You don't work. You don't cook. You don't clean. You're disagreeable. I have found out men don't like that. Men don't like it if you're disagreeable. And I had got to the point to where I was so disagreeable with Scotty, unconsciously, because of what I told y'all last week that I ain't got time to go into and all of that, to where if he said it's going to rain, I said, ah, yeah, but the sun's going to come out, you know, it's going to brighten up. Everything the man would say. I didn't notice it, though. And there's times I would say things, and when I would say them, I could feel my words carry like darts. And it would come out of my mouth, and I would think, why did I say that? Why did that feel like that when that came out? Because I'm not mad at him at the time. But see, what you got to remember, this word is always true. And it says, whatever is in the abundance of your heart is going to come out your mouth. You may not be thinking about it right then. You may not be having a problem with it right then. You don't think. But when your words are coming out of your mouth and they've got darts or daggers toward your husband or other people, it's because you've got stuff in your heart that is not right. And I would think, why did that feel like that? Why did that feel like that? I don't want to do that, God. See, when we don't know why we do the things that we do, he is the only one that can help us. Unless now he tells somebody, or through preaching or something like that, you know, that he helps us. But the world has tried to mold us and to make us, and we have been pretty much duped by the devil in the culture. To where, I mean, really, do we have to say what a woman is today? I mean, really, can you say that? That you have to, people are out there trying to define what a woman is. I can tell you what a woman is. Your mama. That's a woman. Your mama. It ain't your daddy, is it? You don't get eggs from a rooster, do you? Do you milk a bull? I mean, seriously, this is how dumb some of this stuff is if you just think about it. All right, now let me try to read my scripture here before my time runs out. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is amplified. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. We have to renew our minds to the Word of God, of the attitudes that we're supposed to have, the attitudes we're not supposed to have, right? Let's see here where I want to go. So we can't be taught by the world. Not and expect to be right and live productive lives. Some things that we've already found about God's ideal woman is, number one, she's submissive. You may say, I'm not married. Christ is my head. Then your life should not be jacked up. Y'all not saying nothing. If Christ is your head and you're the same kind of jacked up as you've been for the last 5 to 10 years, you ain't listening to your head. Listen, somebody got to tell us the truth. Why? It is the truth that we embrace that will make us free. That's just like the story that I told y'all. I am free and getting freer and freer. But I've had to endure. God talks to me the way I talk. So can you just imagine the way He talks to me? Just like with that dogged determination. And I thought, dogged? What is dog? I don't know what that means, God. You know what that means? Go look it up. Put your part into this relationship. I'm telling you the problem. Now you get in there and do the work and find out what I'm talking about. He could have downloaded it all to me, right? Couldn't He? Couldn't He have told me every verse and every script? He's not going to do that. Seekers find. And if you ain't a seeker, you don't really want to know. But God's ideal woman, number one, she's submissive. You may not be married. If you're an older woman, Christ is your head, but we can see if you're following Him or not. Number one, where do you go to church? Caliban. Well, God has a place for everybody, and you are supposed to get in that place, and you stay there until He moves you, and He ain't schizophrenic, and He don't change His mind every 2 or 3 months. Because, see, when you go to church, to church, to church, to church, to church, you get this and this and this and this and this, teaching, doctrine, all this stuff. And all of them ain't even right. But you get all of this stuff. But God has a place for you, just like if you have a desire to be married, He has a marriage for you. But see, you think church, golly, Mom, church does way more. Church is kind of like being married. I get up, I get ready, I come here. Whether I want to see you or I don't want to see you, whether I'm having a good day or a bad day, whether the singing's on point, the drumming's just right, y'all not saying nothing. I still come every day, or Sunday or Wednesday, whatever church days is. Do you understand that's what you do when you're married? The only reason that I have been married 39 years this August is, number one, God, and number two, I don't quit. There is no quit. Has He always been the best man? Are you kidding me? I picked Him because He was a bad boy. But then what I come to find out, bad boys be bad boys on you too. And that's not good. Why? Because they real bad boys. Get you a good one right off the bat. Don't pick a bad boy. That's not good. Why? They gonna do what bad boys do. But mama, you gonna change him. No, you're not. No, you're not. Not especially with the attitude most of us got. According to 1 Peter chapter 3, a quiet, gentle, humble, peaceable spirit is what changes a man. Right? We done read that two or three times. So she's submissive. You may not have a husband. Christ is your head, but we can see if you've been following Christ or not. Why? Because, see, I follow God through my husband, mostly. Can I hear God from myself? Absolutely. I'm born again. I got the Spirit of God on the inside of me. I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. Yes, I can hear God for myself. But see, just like a married woman, the children of Israel followed God through Moses, a married woman follows God through her husband. That's why, men, you got to make sure you're putting out the right mirror, the right image. Why? Because I got to reflect that. And when I do that, you do that, it grows me. It causes me to come and live up to my full potential in Christ. And it does the same thing for you. And then you got glory when we walk in a room and I'm quiet. I learned men don't like talking all the time. Most men, they don't like that talk. Y'all realize, God, y'all not going to let me stay on my script here. Do y'all realize that for a lot of us women and a lot of your husbands or just men in general, they listen to a lot of crap they don't care nothing about. When you walk into a room usually and you say, hey, baby, does this dress look good on me? They cringe. I saw a thing last night about a little boy. I don't know, maybe he's 5 to 7 years, 6, 7 years old, something like that. And the mama's asking him, you know, what if he had, when he got a wife, what he want her to be, you know. Well, do you want a skinny wife or a fat wife or a, what's the word, a thick wife? It's the word she used, you know. And he said, Mama, I love you. And I'm thinking, what? She said, well, what do you want your wife to be? Do you want her to, he said, I want a skinny wife. She said, well, what does that mean? Is that like Mom? You know, is that like me? Or is that thicker than me? And he got up and he went and hugged her, Samantha. And he said, Mommy, I love you. He's learned that. He's learned it from somebody. Don't tell Mama the things she don't want to hear. But see, ladies, we have to be able to hear the things we don't want to hear. So a lot of us have made men where they don't want to tell us the truth. Now, I'm not saying if she asked you, baby, how you look like a fat hog laying out there done had 10 liters of whatever. Don't say that. That's probably going to get you a frying pan and not get you the results. Why? Every action has a reaction, and you don't want that reaction that's coming, buddy. Especially if somebody like me, I break the coffee table and everything else. But that's what he done, though. He got up and he hugged her and told her that he loved her. But then told her, no, not one like you. I want a skinny one. Evidently, she was a thick or a fat one. I don't know. I couldn't see her, you know. But at that, I thought, Sandy, at that age, he's learned that somehow, that this would be hurtful to her. Now, you don't do it trying to hurt, right? Love doesn't try to hurt, but love tells you the truth in love. I'm not even going to say that. Anyway, I'm not going to say that. So you don't have to have a husband, just like children. You submit to your fathers. Why? That's the godly authority, the male authority that God put over you. And when I find in the Bible, they wasn't sitting around in the Bible, these women. Well, what do you think you want to be when you grow up, baby? What you want to be, princess? You know you can be everything, anything that you want to be, and you can do everything equal to a man. Anything a man can do, you can do, and you can do it better. Do you know how many kids is growing up with that? It's a bunch of foolishness. And it causes us to believe wrong. Therefore, we live wrong. We talk wrong. And we cannot figure out what is wrong with these men. Most of the time, it's not them. So, doesn't matter if you have a husband. What they did in the Bible, the girls, they stayed in their parents' house under their father's leadership, their father's protection, and their father's provision until the man came and asked and told him how much the dowry was. See, y'all know what I'm talking about. Dowry, what's that? That's where you go to the girl's father and you tell him how much money you got and how much assets you got so that he knows you can take care of his daughter. The same lifestyle she's been living. Now, it may not be exactly the same, because how many knows, if you've done it right, a 18-year-old boy or man ain't going to have the same assets and things as a 56-year-old. But you can see him on his way or not. So they stayed in the home, and they were submissive to their parents and stayed under the leadership and the protection of their father. Well, we got the girls nowadays, they're not doing that. They're running after a career, and they're running after this, and they just want a man, but they don't want to be a wife because they want a man to take care of them. That stuff's not right. That's why we so messed up. So you submit to the authority that God's put. And women, don't act like you don't know how to do this. I mean, for real. How many in here, you work for somebody? Women. You work for somebody. You got a boss, in other words. Okay. Say in the morning, you get up, you go to work, you go in there and you say, "Hey, boss man, I just don't think I can get with this vision you told me we're supposed to do. I think we need to do this." Jackie, you already saying no. You know we don't do that with our husbands either. Why? They are our leaders, and we are supposed to be the followers. And we have to give them grace, and we have to give them mercy. You know why? They're not always going to be perfect at it. But I'm talking about those that have a heart to serve God, that want to know the will of God, that want to lead the family. You got to give them grace and mercy, and they don't want you questioning every decision that they make. Go in the morning and question every decision your boss makes. You probably won't be at that job after tomorrow. See, we know how to do it with our boss. Y'all not saying nothing. We know how to submit to our boss. Why? Money, honey. We can do a lot for money. Well, why can't I do it at home when this is my entire life? I thought about it. The Lord helped me the other day. Me and Scotty have really been through a lot. I mean, y'all have heard a lot of stories. There's things y'all don't even know, and I would not want anybody to. They are very embarrassed, different things. You just would not want somebody to know. But God showed me the other day, Scotty has always loved me. Always loved me. Even though he didn't always treat me right, he didn't always do, in his heart, he always loved me to the best he knew how. And when he learned better, then he could do better. And I thought about it, I thought, okay, God, he's always loved me. You know what that does for a woman? That's our number one thing, is love. Ain't that what Christ gives to the church, the number one? He loves her. And that love is supposed to change her, right? The Bible says it is the love of God or the goodness of God that leads us to change, to repentance. It's that love. And he told me, he said, he's always loved you. I thought, oh, he has, ain't he? He's always loved me. Then I had this is my next thought. And God's helping me in the thought process. That man, everything I eat comes through that man. I don't work outside. I do a lot of work, but I don't work outside the home where I make money, bring it in. I work here at the church, got a lot of stuff I do. Every bite of food that goes in my mouth, it's because of him. Every pair of shoes I have, it's because of him. Now, I don't leave God out of it, but God brings it mostly through him. You can quit listening right now. But every bite of food that enters, and listen, I got a lot of bites. Y'all can see it, right? So I got a lot of bites. Every pair of shoes I have, it's because it comes through him. If I got any makeup, every haircut I get, it's because it comes through him. Every piece of clothing that I have, it's because it comes through him. If I have a car, it's because it comes through him. Everything that I have is because God sends it to me through him. And then Daddy wants a sandwich. I get up and go make Daddy a sandwich. But see, a lot of times for women, when we hear stuff like, ooh, just bristle. Just make you want to bristle. Let me tell you what that is, ladies. It's called pride. I know what I'm talking about, have been living it, and now I'm getting rid of it, and it's causing me to get free. God's changing my thinking. And listen, I enjoy my husband, Johnny. That's amazing to me. He didn't do a thing. Not one thing. See, I told y'all there's 80 out of 100% of the divorces going on. The statistics say that it's 80% of the women that's filing for the divorce. How many of them could have been in the same situation that I was just in and they was convinced, it is that man you gave me, God? We want to stop all of that. So let's look. God, I ain't got time to look. Golly, Bob, y'all did not let me do nothing on this paper except read Romans 12. I've already got to stop. But really, God is trying to help us, because I told you, you know, some people think, oh, a president's going to turn things around. And he can only do, if he's God's choice, he can only do what he can do. We didn't get in this because of a bad president. We got in this because of mothers and fathers not doing what they should do. And listen, you could have done everything that you're supposed to do, and your kid still has a choice. So I'm not trying to blame everything on parents or whatever. But at the same time, if we're going to change anything, if God's going to change anything, he's got to change the family. Because see, it may be my son that's the next governor. It may be your daughter that's the next U.S. senator. You know what I'm saying? It's our sons and daughters that's coming up that's going to be the ones fixing the roads, that's going to be the teachers at the school, that's going to do all these things. So if we're going to change things, we got to change the home. We've got to change the family. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say or comments or anything before we close? You're welcome.